We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Hello and welcome to a special night in Minneapolis, Minnesota, where the South Carolina Gamecocks have been coronated as your national champions with a 64-49 victory over the UConn Huskies. I'm Gabe Ibrahim alongside Megan Gower and Aaron Barzilai from the Her Hoop Stats crew. Make sure you're following us on Twitter at Her Hoop Stats. Subscribe to our YouTube channel and subscribe to us wherever you're getting podcasts. Great stuff. Let's get into the game. South Carolina completes their wire-to-wire championship season with a pretty sound beatdown of the UConn Huskies. Aaron, let's get your take first. What was the one thing that kind of stuck out to you tonight, or what was your big reaction to it?
Thank God for Kentucky.
Right.
I think there was a little bit of intrigue when we entered the tournament because South Carolina lost that game in the conference tournament. And so, you know, they clearly had been the number one team all year, both in the rankings as well as our Her Hoop Stats rating. We gave them a 71%, 72% chance to win. I think we predicted a score of like 63-57, so a little off, but not too bad. I think we beat the books, though. Always good. And that was roughly the odds we also had against Stanford in the Final Four, right? And so they were the favorites, and they showed that they did. It wasn't pretty. We can talk about where they rank in the annals of the 40th NCAA champion. Kudos to them. So impressive. Destiny Henderson. She went 3-for-6 tonight, 3-for-4 on Friday, so she's 6-for-10 tournament. Good time to kind of heat up. And they needed it because UConn, I was impressed at how they kept fighting, particularly in the third quarter before. I mean, it was clear that they weren't going to do it, but I was a little nervous in the first quarter, and they stuck with it. I thought that was impressive.
Yeah, so you the way it started off was inauspicious, to say at least, for UConn. They start off the game 4-of-9 from the field. Turning the ball over left and right, 0-2 from three, like just absolutely nothing going against the South Carolina defense because South Carolina came out extremely prepared for all of UConn's pet sets. I thought Destiny Henderson did an excellent job, especially in that first quarter, of putting her foot down on the defensive end and making sure Paige Beckers didn't get loose early. And I think that's kind of the thing that we were talking about once we knew that this matchup was going to happen, Megan, was, you know, if Paige gets going, UConn has a chance to win.
Right.
And if Paige got going, I would probably say UConn would probably win. But she was 6-13 for 14 points, which is a good game, but not by her standards, right?
Right. And I wouldn't hang this on Paige,
no,
too. I think it was the rest of UConn's backcourt, which we can get to in a minute, just didn't have a good game. But I think the thing that stood out in the first quarter, like all those things you said hurt UConn, but what really killed them was the glass. They could not get a defensive rebound to save themselves. And really the first half, South Carolina basically got all of their own misses. I think like well over half their points were coming on second chance opportunities. So it didn't really matter that South Carolina was actually shooting well worse than UConn was from the floor because they just kept giving them second and third and fourth chances to get points.
Yeah, a couple of quick stats before we go, Gabe. So at one point, I think South Carolina had 18 offensive rebounds and 17 baskets. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of crazy. And they ended up, I believe their offensive rebounding rate, they got 53.8% of their own misses tonight, 21 out of 39, which is the highest that we have in a championship game in the Her Hoop Stats era. Shout out to everybody who uses that phrase.
Yes.
The first time I saw that, I got a kick out of it. But that's the most in a championship game dating back. We have it through the 2009-2010 season, so the 2010 NCAA tournament. So it was just dominant, right? I mean, they didn't shoot that well. South Carolina was 22 for 60 tonight.
Yes.
So it is remarkable that they were able to still win by what? It's getting late, but 15 points.
Yeah. It was also UConn's worst night on the defensive glass in a long time. Yeah. It was their worst defensive rebounding rate since 2017, and there was in the tournament since 2013.
So, wow.
Yeah. Rough night for them.
Well, and that's... And
I mean, credit to South Carolina. I understand a lot of that, but, like, just...
What? In the backcourt too.
To end on the point of offense rebounding, I Leah Boston. There's only so much we can say about of her, but I don't think it's even enough. 11 points, 16 rebounds, 3 assists. It was kind of a it's a ho-hum game for her, right? But her dominance on the glass was not just like from those rebounds. It was the box outs. It was the fouls. It was the way she wears you down. On the offensive glass and just on offense, period. And then on the defensive end, she was outstanding as well. She wins the most outstanding player for the tournament, and well deserved. She should sweep all the awards because I think she had one of the greatest seasons of all time, which is something we can get into in a little bit. But she was outstanding in her minutes tonight, and I think she was a huge reason why. But to bring it back to that backcourt, because I want to let you guys know something. So last night, we all hung out as media folk do, and I was hanging out with Megan and Russ Steinberg. Where's Russ? Where would be Russ's like proper title?
He's been in the room.
He's been everywhere. You've heard of him. and so I think I said something to the effect of, South Carolina's backcourt is just as good as UConn's. And the look that I got from these two, I wish I could have taken a picture of it. I really wish I could have. Because they looked at me like I had just landed from the planet Mars and had never seen these two teams play. And I got a, 10-minute soliloquy from the two of them, even though it's not a soliloquy, I know, you theater nerds, about why the UConn backcourt is so much better than South Carolina's backcourt. Well, folks, Destiny Henderson, 26 points, 9-20 shooting. Zaya Cook, 11 points on 5-13 shooting. We don't have to talk about the rest. Just, just taking the stuff that's good for my points. Kristen Williams, 1 of 7 from the field for 2 points. Rough night for her. Paige Beckers, as we mentioned, didn't go supernova. And AZ Fudd, also, as a freshman, didn't have a great night tonight.
Three shots.
She was, so AZ Fudd was sick.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that is part of that. I think she didn't play that many minutes. I think was trying to play through stomach bug type thing, but just wasn't really.
Or she caught the cold that I did because it's snowing in Minnesota. Yes.
Did you interview her in the breakout room?
Maybe. Oh, God, did I cause this? No. So, Megan, can you say I was right?
I still, out of every other day talent, sure. I would still argue that UConn has the better backcourt. But tonight, South Carolina's backcourt was better. Destiny Henderson was the best guard on the floor tonight. I'm not going to take that away from her. She was clearly the best guard on the floor tonight. I still don't agree in the grand
scheme. In the aggregate?
Yeah. In case everyone was wondering what media people talk about after 5 beers, this is it. Yes. We're not very exciting.
We talk about exactly what you think we talk about. Hey, I could have looked really stupid because I've seen Destiny Henderson not have great games.
Right.
And we've seen Zaya Cook struggle, and she still struggled from three, and I hope her shot gets right next year. And Bree Beal, she was 1 of 7. Mm-hmm. So she was not she's more of a 3, I think, than a 2. Mm-hmm. But, Henderson just absolutely went off. I think she really did feed off that defensive energy and being able to be her role today was really just to stay on the perimeter and make sure that no one got into the middle. So she would get under a screen, switch out, and if she was getting pulled down to the post, she would be scrambled out by a big, right? And they did just an excellent job of scouting that, of understanding what they had, what their roles were, and I think that really got her going, honestly, on the offensive end. When their shots aren't going in, it's a lot easier to make your shots. And then she got some open threes because that's what teams let up against South Carolina, and then She's gone.
Here's my question for you, Gabe, because I think as a tiebreaker, I agree with Megan. Yeah. I would definitely give it to Destiny Henderson tonight. It's not even taking it away. It's giving it to her. Yeah. She was amazing. I was wondering, because she played well both games, like where that would stack up for just the MOP of the Final Four.
Yeah.
But you know, obviously Boston is their clear leader. But I couldn't decide how much of UConn's problems, you know, was the great defense of South Carolina. You know, it wasn't really so much I thought UConn playing well as just, you know, South Carolina was suffocating on defense. And I guess what I do wonder is if you'd flip the backcourts, the South Carolina backcourt on the UConn team facing the rest of South Carolina, would they have done any better? Like, that's kind of hyper-rational question and assessment of it.
No, that's what I was thinking about that one Megan was talking. It's like, it's a lot easier to play when your bigs are dominating, right?
Yeah.
And their bigs were dominating, right? Like, Saxton played really well. Boston played really well. I think that was, you're right.
Who blocked Fudd on that in the long jumper? I forget who that was.
Oh,
was that Boston? Ducharme got sort of stuffed like a couple of years. So it was just like, he ran into a wall. It just felt every single time. There was so little space. Paige got a few of those mid-range jumpers.
Oh, one point, she had a couple crazy ones that were just like, I don't know how she got that off.
I thought she did a good job of like a little snake dribble and getting to her spot and rising up. And so she was like 4-7 at one point, but then I think she missed a couple more. And that's kind of got away.
No, and it was like, there was a time, right? I think in that second quarter.
Yeah.
It felt like Paige was going to take over.
Yeah, she kind of went into that mode where she hit a couple of baskets back-to-back, and you're kind of like, all right, UConn's not out of this. She's going to go off. And then they cut it to close. I think it was 11-ish at the half.
They cut it closer before that. Yeah, it was like 7 points.
So, 8 at the half. And they even in the third, that end of the third, they cut it down to 6. And you're like, all right, we've got a game. But then South Carolina.
How excited? I was going to actually ask you that. What were you thinking when they had those 2 threes in a row?
I got a little bit too excited. Yeah. I got a little ahead of myself. Well, because, like, AZ finally hit one, so I was like, if AZ can get going, like, they can get back to this. And Avina also, like, not a great three-point shooter, but a streaky shooter, so I was like, if she can, you know, come out and did what she did in the first half against Stanford.
Like Destiny Henderson.
Or, like, what Avina did in the first half against Stanford. She hit 3 triples, really kept UConn in that game in the first half. I was like, if they can make a couple more of them, like, it's going to be a game. But that's not what happened.
I think, like you mentioned, to start, like, UConn kept fighting. They kept coming.
I think just, like, not to cut you off. No, but, go ahead. Just the theme of the season for the team. Like, right, they come into this game. I don't think most people had them in the national championship going into this season. With everything they've been through in terms of the injuries, the adversity. Then they lose Dorca in the Elite Eight. They have AZ Fudd sick tonight. Apparently, Olivia Nelson-Adota was dealing with a groin injury tonight.
Yeah.
So it's just like...
When Avina Westbrook got hurt.
Yeah, Avina Westbrook rolls her ankle in the second quarter. It's just like the theme of like one thing after another for this team. But like, credit to them, they fought through the game. They still made it to a national championship game. It's a pretty damn good end to the season.
Turns out this Gino Auriemma character is a decent coach.
Technically, they overachieved. You know, I was looking through it and I was wondering... we never really... They were basically between third... and fifth the whole season in Herb stats rating, I think. I think we had him third very early on because we were giving him credit from last year. But they finished fourth, right? So to make the Final Four, get that nice win on Friday. I think, what was the quote from Paige? That she got a taste of it and she kind of going to learn from it or something, which is a little cliche, but also I think true.
Yeah, and I think Gino said it well, too. But, like, once this, like, settles and they, like, get past this loss, like, they can be really proud of what they accomplished this season.
I do kind of want to take us into the more, like, higher perspective, like, talking about this from a more historical perspective and just talking about where the programs are going to go now. Is there anything else we want to mention about the game, though?
I do feel like I want to highlight the record that they had. South Carolina, they set a number of records. I didn't catch all the ones that they mentioned in the press conference. But one we had tracked was that they ended up with 294 rebounds for the tournament, which is the most in a single tournament of any team in NCAA women's basketball history.
That's good. That's a positive statement.
And that's hard to do when you play at a not so fast pace, right? It's not like they're running up and down the court a zillion times.
Well, I mean, it was slightly easier to do because they missed a ton of shots too, and they were awesome in the offensive loss. For the first like 3 rounds, they were missing shots all the time, which kind of helped. But obviously, it's a monstrous accomplishment just because it wasn't just like, oh, they got a ton of rebounds and it didn't help them win. Like, they won because of the rebounding.
Yeah.
Which is an effort thing. Rebounding, I don't know. Honestly, because it seems like Aaliyah Boston like Dennis Rodman, right, has studied like the angles, right? Doesn't it strike you as she has studied the angles?
Yeah, is this now when we do the thing from The Last Dance? Right.
Yes.
I don't know. Yeah, either that or just incredible instincts. But right. Probably is studying. I mean, yeah. She's kind of young, right? So she had as much time as when Robin was studying.
Yeah, but she's far more far more cerebral than Dennis Rodman in a lot of ways.
Right, she has better hair, too. His hair was interesting.
Her hair is legendary. And then the last thing we should mention is calling out Candace Parker. I don't know what the context was of that. So if anyone knows, someone said it was shade, right?
I not being that hip, ask you two youngins. I don't think I can call you a youngin, but Megan knows where it's at.
Megan's like a year younger than me.
He's 1 year older than me.
I think that's she's a little more.
I'm on TikTok.
Yeah, Gabe is actually hipper than I am.
I guess so. So, yeah, no, it was unclear to me whether that was a random comment or whether, in fact, that was something that I guess we were all totally oblivious to.
I did see Dawn come over and start talking smack, but in like a joking fun
way. Asia Wilson was in the house.
Oh, yeah.
Wilson was having a time of her life.
Asia Wilson may have had the most fun of anyone from the South Carolina contingent.
I guess that Candace Parker might have been the biggest celebrity in the building that I ever said.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. I mean, certainly to us.
Yeah.
As far as we know, at least.
I didn't see Michelle Young again. Michelle, if you're somehow listening to this podcast, let us know. You can come on the show.
One thing I think is interesting before we kind of get into the bigger picture stuff to tie it back. So South Carolina shot 36.7% and mm-hmm. UConn shot 40.7%. So it's not exactly stellar. But like, did we feel the way we did walking out of Friday? Like this game, did it feel interesting to you?
Interesting. Because I mean, though the final score doesn't make it look close, like it was. Within reach for UConn until a few minutes left in the game. Like, with 5 minutes left, you were still, like, I think they were down 9. You're like, this did still go either way.
I wasn't.
I was like, they hit a couple threes and then right back in it. So, yeah. I didn't really have a lot of faith that they were going to hit a couple threes. But, like, it didn't feel over, right? Until, like, probably
The backdoor cover was in play. Because I think the line was, like, 4.5. Let me know. If you bet on this, let me know. Because I did tell all my friends to bet on South Carolina. They're very happy with me. Thanks to our model.
Calvin also gave us some confidence in it, too.
Yeah, so I think it was a 4.5-point line for South Carolina. So I was like, I'm with you. Like, it didn't feel like either team played that poorly, right?
It's fascinating, given what we said on Friday with similar shooting percentages.
And it's not,
I think if you were looking at two of the best defenses in the country, so you weren't, I wasn't expecting people to shoot the lights out in this game. Like, that's not what you were expecting going in. I don't think UConn played well, but I think they played horribly in the first quarter.
Yeah.
And then they played fine for the rest of the game, but they could just never really get over. Because, like, if you take out the first quarter, it's basically an even game. So they just couldn't get back over that hump.
I guess it felt more like good defense tonight, maybe.
Yeah.
That looked like quality play. It just wasn't on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah, I mean, UConn won the second quarter by 6. It was actually, it was fully tied. Oh, no. South Carolina won the last 3 quarters by a point.
Yeah.
So,
it really came down to that first quarter.
Yeah, that's why you can't. You got to play all 40 minutes.
Oh, great.
Yeah, you know, South Carolina opened both games 11-2.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that's why they win, though.
Yeah.
That's how they win. But, yeah, you know, I'm with you. I think it felt a little bit cleaner and better.
Yeah.
Not an all-time classic, but very enjoyable.
Maybe we were also a little too harsh on Stanford and UConn.
No, it was a horrible game.
It was an ugly game.
They really did anything they needed to do.
This was the game of the weekend. I feel comfortable saying that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wasn't quite a classic, though. We didn't get a classic.
It can't all be classics. Otherwise, the value's classics.
Okay, so let's kind of put this in historical perspective and look forward to what's ahead for both these teams. Let's start with South Carolina, obviously. So I did make a comment that this team is in the greatest ever tier. They're probably not, as Megan reminded me.
The UConn fan of the room is going to have a lot to say about that.
Even not UConn fan of the room is going to have a lot to say about that.
So we can comfortably go back to at least the Breanna Stewart UConn years and say this team
is the best since 2016. I'll let you have that.
Yeah, I think they are the best since 2016, which is, it's a pretty long time. That's 6 years. Like, that's 5 champions. That's a good stretch. We can even count whoever we want at 2020.
Again, what is your Twitter handle for people?
@Gabe_Ibrahim. Let me know. At Basketball Value, actually. That's my real one. The other one's a burner. Yeah, at Basketball Value.
That's G-A-B-E-I-B-R-A-K-I.
But it's... You know, I think this team, I think it goes back to 2016, I think we can come through. So I think this team is actually very good historical context. But I think the bigger historical context, perhaps, that I was trying to get at is that Aliyah Boston had one of the best seasons ever. So even as UConn fan, would you, like, deeply disagree with me?
No, I don't deeply disagree. I think there's a lot of players that you can put in that group, but, like, I think she's one of them. She carried, like... Destiny Henderson is the reason they won a national championship today, I think.
Yeah,
but
the game.
Today. And, I mean, you can't just have one player carry you to a national championship. Your guards are going to have to step up. But Aliyah Boston carried this team for most of the season, and for all of the season, really, and they pretty single-handedly won them some games this season, for sure. They have had some stretches where their guards were not great, and they needed them to be great this weekend to win, and they did get that from them, but she's... been the catalyst for this team all the way through.
And this tournament, too. She's won them. She won them game. I think...
She won them the Miami game.
The Miami game.
Yeah.
Another Miami reference on this podcast. Miami, UNC, I would say she almost won that single-handedly for them.
Oh, yeah. Without her performance on the glasses against UNC, they lost that game.
Right. And it's just, like, she motored them through so many rough spots offensively. And that those rough spots offensively keep them from being in that conversation as one of the better teams ever. But... I just think she was so dominant and steady, too, right? Steady throughout the whole season.
Cool. I'll give you a couple stats. First of all, she had five double-doubles in the six games. It was the last time that happened. A little benefit not having a 2020 tournament was Nafisa Collier, actually, and Jessica Shepherd
really?
In 2019.
Wow.
He was like a double-double every night.
So it was Fee and Jessica Shepherd?
The same year.
Wow.
But I think most importantly, which speaks to Boston, you know, because I feel, we've talked about this all the time, right? Like, you look up and normally she has a ridiculous stat sheet today, which was really, really good. You know, her win, so win shares, right, is it's an estimate of the value that a player contributes, and win shares per 40 minutes is basically per minute, so how much value she's contributing every minute she's on the floor. And so she happened to have a value of 0.65, which doesn't necessarily have a ton of meaning to folks. But the people that have been that high, where did my list go, was Nafisa Collier, Brianna Jones, but then most importantly, the only other people besides the two of them. So that hasn't been done since the two of them did that in 2016-17.
Okay.
So like higher than Asia Wilson.
Right.
And then the only people, we'd go back, dating back to 2010-11, that's where it gets an extra good cutoff. Right. It's a little bit of cherry picking. The only other players, Maya Moore, Brianna Stewart, Elena Deladon, and Brittany Griner. So
that's a good list.
Now, if it's just the numbers, I'd be curious to hear beyond the numbers what you think about whether she really could be in that group for a college performance, I guess.
I don't know that she gets the, like, Maya Moore, Brianna Stewart, Elena Deladon group.
Oh, and they were all higher on
Brittany Griner group, But the FISA group, I mean, the FISA was a great player. The fact that she never won enough Player of the Year award, it's a topic for a different day, but
It's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. I mean, you saw what she was able to do with the W right off. But, I think she's in, I don't think she's in that, there's like that tier, right, of like, But I don't think she's quite there, but she's definitely among like that next group of great players.
So, I don't know.
She's still got another year to get there, but, I don't... talking about, like, Brittany Griner, Maya Moore, Brianna Stewart, you're talking about the best players to ever play basketball.
Yeah, I'm talking about singular season, too. Like, I don't know. I mean, I'll have to dig in. We have to dig into it a little bit more, but I do... The first impression is correct. But I just think, like, the team she played this year also... They played one of the toughest games.
They had the toughest schedule, but I think opponent win percentage and opponent margin of victory as well, per game and per possession.
Just this season or how far?
This season. Okay. We were mostly focusing on that. We were looking at the stats.
I would like to see like how they did versus those teams all the time, because I think they played one of the toughest. It'd be hard to write play that many teams at the top in the regular season.
Keep talking.
That many teams in the top of the regular season and have those performances and lead your team to wins in those games and be everything for this team that she was. So maybe we're going to look back on it. I think that maybe what happens is, like, the way we think about the Deladons, Stewie, mm-hmm. the Griners, right? Like, we look back on those players so much more favorably because they were so great in WNBA, and Boston could totally do that. I think, right, like, at the very least, yeah. she could be there, right?
Yeah, yeah, she has the potential. I think she's a really good player. I don't know that she's going to get to that tier. I think that, but I mean, like, right, we're talking about, like, a tier that literally has, like, four
yes.
players in it ever, like.
Yes.
So.
Well, someone's going to come at you for being disrespectful to Aaliyah Boston.
I'm sure. But
for not, like, putting her in a group with the four greatest players in the past 10, 20 years.
You know, if people want to come for me for that, I'll accept that.
and the thing is, like, I think she's gonna get better. I mean, look
yeah.
from last year.
Oh, she's a totally different player than she was last year. Whatever she did in the off season this year, she is a significantly better player than she was last season.
Yeah. Well, I think she completely transformed her body. Mm-hmm. That was well documented. Mm-hmm. She's just added things to her game, like mm-hmm. those outlet passes are a little bit crisper. Like her passes,
a little bit of range on her shot.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised to see her come back and, like, you have to guard a few for you.
I think that's the next evolution
for everyone else.
Do we have the stats on the?
I have not been paying attention to your conversation.
Okay, no, it's fine.
I heard you talk about
dropping some stats.
So since 2009-10, the start of the Herb Stats era, the only team, three other teams, have won 90% of the games. And faced in the teams with an average opponent winning percentage of 64% or better.
Yeah.
It is Notre Dame in 2017-18, who were the champions. Ooh. Notre Dame in 2014-15, when they were runners-up, I think a finally 38-1 UConn team beat them in the finals. So it was, and I think they'd maybe been undefeated until then. Mm-hmm. I don't know what Notre Dame had been. And then also UConn in 2009-2010. So, in terms of being able to combine sort of the high winning percentage
yeah.
with the high opponent winning percentage, it's pretty rare.
Okay, now I also want to get into this. One of those losses was to Missouri. That, and Missouri too, with, what, six players? Blackwell was there.
Oh. Yeah.
But they only had six or seven players. That, folks, might be in the conversation for one of the greatest upsets of all time. Right? Like, I can't, like...
I feel like it doesn't have the significance. I think in terms of, like, a game, in terms of a team upsetting, like, a team of that caliber,
yes.
yes. But I think, like, the significance of it takes away from it. Like, it's not in a tournament.
No, yeah,
like,
I'm talking...
He's from, like, a pure betting
yeah.
standpoint.
From, like, a pure, like, how the hell did this happen standpoint. I think that's up there with the craziest upsets.
Yeah.
Most unpredictable upsets in...
I thought Blackwell didn't play in that game.
She may not have.
Let me take a look.
I'm pretty sure
I
feel like I remember being like, how did South Carolina lose this game when Missouri didn't even have their best player?
But it happens. That's why it's so hard, and to be one of the best teams
yes,
in history,
why they don't get
you
to,
need
don't,
to
well,
go...
We're not going to talk about
that
fine. With the 2009-2010 UConn team that...
Fine.
Had the same strength of schedule, went
let's
undefeated.
Clear,
it's just
no
look.
UConn,
I'm just saying, these Cocks have the length to compete with anybody.
Great length.
But
great length for the Cocks.
Some of those Diana Taurasi super UConn teams were better.
I
stellar quote from
Diana Taurasi. Blackwell did not play in that game.
Yeah.
Wow.
We went to OT.
Shout to Lauren Hansen. Right, hit the game winner. Yeah, I think.
Yeah.
Shout to Lauren Hansen.
Points.
Also got us a ton of views on our Instagram.
Oh right, yeah, yeah.
And then this for South Carolina, Destiny Henderson's probably going to the draft. We think Victoria Saxon, I believe, can also be eligible to the draft if she wants to. We haven't heard from her. We assume Henderson's going to be in. But I don't know about Saxon.
I don't think they have enough scholarships for, like, enough people to stay.
I mean, well, I think Lili Grissett is a senior, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think anybody else on this team is leaving. And there's, like, four or five five-star recruits that did, like, play 39 seconds in this game. So, South Carolina, the era of Dawn Staley rolls on.
Do they have JV teams still?
So I bet you South Carolina's JV team may make the tournament. Maybe.
I don't know.
Shouts to Sanaya Rivers. I think she's going to be good, but she should not take threes. This is my take. But yeah, good for South Carolina. Let's talk about UConn really quick. Obviously this team is losing a lot, but it is UConn.
Mm-hmm.
So where does this team go from here?
I mean, I think they're still in a really good spot. Obviously, losing Novena Westbrook, Kristen Williams, Olivia Nelson-Adota, that's a hard group to lose.
We assume
on Nelson-Adota and Williams, but I feel like nothing's been said that would imply that they aren't going to be done. But, I mean, they bring back, well, Paige Becker's an easy fun.
Who?
So that, no way. You know, that help. But Nika Buell's back. Caroline Ducharme is back. That's a pretty solid backcourt in itself. And then in the front court, Ali Edwards and then Dorker Juhas will be back for next season.
Right.
They've got Aubrey Griffin, who can be a terrific player, has been out all season.
Yeah.
So
I love her.
Yeah, her energy off the bench and her game is a lot of fun. DeBerry did play today.
What's that? Yeah, that was when she's
whatever,
like,
but yeah.
She will have better games.
Yeah, she will have better games, so she's back. And then they've got two big recruits coming in, too.
Yeah.
So,
who were the recruits again?
Ice Brady and Ayanna Patterson.
And do you know what they're ranked or whatever?
I don't know off the top of my head.
So they might be
top
2.
Emma Adler, if you're listening, just hit us up.
Yeah.
Emma has the composite rankings.
I should know off the top of my head, I just don't.
Yeah, Emma has the composite rankings, but... Yeah, I mean, do they have spots for transfers?
I think so, too. I wouldn't be surprised to see.
Okay.
Yeah, they're losing those three. They've only got two coming in, so they've got a little space. I wouldn't be surprised to see
someone
trying to hit the portal if there's someone in there he's interested in.
Yeah, someone transferring up would be obviously you want to end up at UConn.
If
you
obviously, like, Dorker Juhas, that's what they did with her last year. It was successful, and they get her for one more year, so.
Now, here's a question. Do you think this is a matchup we're going to see in the championship again next year?
Very possibly. These are probably going to be the two best teams in the country next year.
They probably come in ranked
Stanford,
1 and 2.
Yeah.
So Stanford doesn't lose much.
When was the last time there was a rematch in the championship game?
I don't know.
It must have been UConn and someone.
Probably UConn Notre Dame or something.
Yeah,
like.
UConn and someone.
I mean, just ballpark, it does not strike me as that would be a pretty obvious, a regular thing that happens. I mean, maybe they're the two best teams, but that doesn't mean.
I guess.
Do they come in ranked 1 and 2?
Yeah, that's.
Also, I'm gonna look this up.
Yeah, I do think they probably do come in ranked 1 and 2. Like, these are probably the two best teams going into the season next year.
Megan was right. It was Connecticut, Notre Dame, and 1450.
Stanford loses the whole twins and Anna Wilson. That's a they have a lot of talented coming off the bench, but that is a pretty significant loss as well.
Yeah, and then I mean Louisville's losing Anxler, but they can.
And Williams.
But it's not necessarily irreplaceable, and they can get into the portal.
I mean, it's going to matter. Yeah, I think you can't really say who's going to come in ranked 1 and 2 until we see what happens with the transfer portal.
Right.
And, I mean, there could be players from these teams that are transferring. We don't know at this point, but.
Fair.
So.
I think the fact that they're in the final will probably, the championship game probably means people will vote for them to be the season 1 and 2.
But I think they probably deserve to be. Like, unless something wild happens in the transfer portal, like, these are probably your top two teams.
I would guess, right?
Yeah.
Okay, let's clip this, and then we can rerun it by October 28th.
Yes, we'll be wrong. But I could see these teams back at the final.
Yeah.
I guess is the point. I could see both teams.
Yeah, I mean,
do you
know, basically
I feel very comfortable thinking South Carolina and UConn will potentially be in the Final Four next year.
Yeah.
What did Gino say? Sorry.
He basically said as much if they could have a season where they don't have to go through what they went through the season.
And they still made it.
Here.
No, good for them.
Yeah.
Good for them. I think they fought really hard, but it was it was South Carolina's year, South Carolina's coronation here in Minneapolis where it is snowing, and let's not do this in the north in April.
We get to go to Dallas next year. It should be much warmer in Dallas.
I like Minneapolis. This is a lovely city. The Elliott Park Hotel has been lovely to us.
It has been great. I love our set.
Yes.
Christian has been hooking us up all weekend.
Shouts to the Elliott Park Marriott.
Yeah,
we love you guys.
Yeah. Speaking of history and speaking of warmer locations, one thing that was fun is we went to Tourneytown today. They had I guess you'd say a big poster with every single program.
Yeah.
Did any of those cities, were you like, oh, we need to go back there ASAP? Tampa, I noticed very prominently.
I like Tampa, but any place that's warm would be great right now.
I'm trying.
You're still bitter about New Orleans.
I am still bitter that we didn't get to go to New Orleans. Or San Antonio, both great cities that I've never been to, but supposed to be great cities.
Are they? I don't know. The NBA journalists all complain incredibly about San Antonio.
My parents in San Antonio loved it.
I feel like everyone I've ever known that's been to San Antonio loves it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not besmirching San Antonio. I know that.
All right, maybe so hot take. Richmond is a great city, and we would have a blast in Richmond.
I don't think I've ever been to Richmond. But
yeah, Richmond's a really, it's a smaller city, but it's super fun.
I'm just trying to imagine the everybody that supports women's basketball in a city like Richmond.
Yeah. Well, no, Richmond, like, Richmond, you know, it's like, it's yeah, like the rest Richmond, of the country.
Yeah, yeah. I used to work, right. I did a little work, I got back and forth from D.C. to Richmond, so.
I would love to, I mean.
Back
I,
in my Capital One days, right, they sponsor.
Oh, yeah, they are, they're sponsored.
I think after Samuel Jackson started being the spokesperson, I worked there.
We could also do it in D.C. That'd be awesome for me. Everyone come hang out with me. Stay at my house.
That's what I would love. Yeah. Start, I mean, I think people have sort of said there's a reason those cities don't get on it, and it's actually like quite expensive to put it on there, and that's why. But I mean, like, do it in Barclays, do it in Seattle.
No, we're not going to Barclays. That's the whole point. We're not going that far north. It's D.C. and down. Mm-hmm. That's it. That's we're drawing a line.
It does not snow in New York City in April.
It does it not, though?
Not usually.
I mean,
maybe Mark. Yeah, certainly not. In we could do it in Central New Jersey near my place. Yeah.
We're doing it in Bridgeport.
Philly would be good.
We're doing it in Bridgeport.
No, Philly.
Bridgeport
would be
a horrible place to host a Final Four.
Philly would be great. Philly would be great in Dodge Stadium, that's South Carolina.
Actually, no. Philly would be awesome. Yeah. Philly would be great. Although, man, that's a city where it'd be weird to have all these people. Not for any other reason, just because, Philly would be a weird city to have everyone, just because Philly is an extremely aggressive place, and we are, is an extremely aggressive.
I think it would be great.
Oh, I love Philadelphia.
And if it could be a Hugo Gino, right, and they were talking about it today, I know the Philly Inquirer was writing a lot of stories about the Philly.
I feel like if it was in New York or Philly, people would start complaining about being a UConn home crowd.
Oh, I think it would be a South Carolina home crowd because she's.
It's a lot easier to get to Philly from Connecticut than it is.
It's a lot easier to get to Philly than Bridgeport from South Carolina.
Charlotte would be excellent. Or honestly, I'll say it. Greensboro is a great place. A lot of tournaments should be in Greensboro. Now I'll leave it at that. The last thing I want to mention about the locations though is. I'm going to steal Mitch Northam's idea to have the first four, because eventually we're going to move to having the first four in a neutral site like the Met do, right?
Eventually, yes.
Put it in Norfolk, Virginia, because that's where the first two championships were. Mm-hmm. To harken back to the start of the tournament, put it in Norfolk. They have some nice stadiums there. It's a lovely place. I lived in Williamsburg for 3 years, and I really love the peninsula, so... Put that in Norfolk. That's my last thought.
Take credit for this idea, but I saw it, and I don't agree with the trying to put the men's and women's championships in the same spot. But I've seen the suggestion on Twitter to put the women's first four in Dayton with the men's, because the Dayton does such a good job with the men's and just put them together. Sure. And I kind of like that idea.
But do we want to go to Dayton?
No.
Okay.
I'm not
on that one. But no, I just think if you already have an event like that, because the first four, right, like. When I don't think it matters though? Where you're going to put it. Like, I don't know that it's going to draw great crowds. So why not put it in some place that already somehow manages to draw crowd for a
first four? I would say Des Moines. Iowa loves its women's basketball.
I'm not
something like that.
That's too cold. Early March?
I didn't say we're going to cover it live in Des Moines, but I mean, that's a place that loves to go.
Shouts to my Iowa friends. Shouts to my Iowa friends. I love you guys, but I'm not going in early March. Okay.
That's what I mean. The places that support women's basketball.
Yes.
Because, Dayton strikes me. Because, when are you going to play it if they're already playing the men's game?
To bring it back here, there's actually a ton of Iowa State fans here.
Exactly.
Ames is a 3-hour drive away, so
Drake gets a ton of support.
Yeah, so.
Shout out you and I.
Actually, don't mind. I like this idea. If we don't put it in Norfolk for the history of it, and for Gabe's convenience.
Yeah. So Gabe can drive there.
I wouldn't mind it being in Des Moines. I do need to make a trip to Iowa. Not in the winter. At some other point. Any parting thoughts? Let's go around. Let's give a parting thought. Megan, do you have one for us?
I think it's just been a good weekend. I'm out of takes. I'm tired.
Okay. Megan's take is that she is tired and out of takes. Aaron, what is your
response? It's been a great game. It has been a great weekend. Mm-hmm. Great to see everybody. I did the math. 5,201 Division I games this season. That was the game that crowned South Carolina's champion. What a journey. It's been it's been a great season to watch. I think that, we are seeing sort of the parity. South Carolina was leader, but it was never certain. Yeah. And so I think that's what made it compelling. We saw so much talent, so many great performances. And, back to it in a week with the WNBA draft.
Mm-hmm. That was my take. There's no rest. Right back in it. But, man, this season was magical. We really got to get together this year, and it felt... kind of normal and real, and I was a little emotional. I was super sad leaving the stadium. I'm one of these people, right? I collect the confetti. Like, I was on the floor collecting confetti, and I have a little pack of confetti and my tickets. So I'm gonna do something with them, but it was emotional to just see that's it. The season's over.
It's a sad day. It's like, it's such a fun day, but then
it's bittersweet.
Yeah.
So the cost of women's basketball is that it never stops. But the benefit is it's really not that long until we start going to get exciting basketball. Yeah. Now, not everybody that follows women's college basketball follows WNBA as closely.
But hope you do. You should.
Yeah. I mean, every teach their own.
Yeah.
I understand that. But it is great that there will kind of be games. It's not that incredibly long.
No.
Let's say men's college basketball in particular.
Yeah. No, it's just the closing of a chapter. And that's always emotional, good and bad. Because of all the memories you made, and that, it's kind of over. But
and I gotta say, congratulations to South Carolina, Don Staley, Leah Boston, right? A little bit of heartbreak last year, and it's just, I'm happy for them.
Mm-hmm. I'm happy for them too, and I think we ended up with the best. No offense, we ended up with the best team winning championship this year. I don't think that's too much in debate. Yeah. So, good for South Carolina. Thank you to everyone that has tuned in for the college basketball season, and we hope that you stick around with us for the WNBA season, for the next college basketball season, for the next WNBA season, and for the rest of your life, because we will be here talking about basketball, not necessarily in Minneapolis in the Elliott Park Hotel, but we will be somewhere, so we
hopefully
hope to catch you.
Hopefully somewhere warmer.
Yeah, hopefully somewhere warmer, and hopefully somewhere where Gabe did not catch a cold because he forgot to bring a coat. So, for Aaron Barzilai, for Megan Gower, I'm Gabe Ibrahim. We'll talk to you very soon.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.